Let's pray. Father, as we speak of your Holy Spirit this morning, we pray that you would be moving in us, amongst us, as a group and as individuals, that you'd be empowering us to know your calling, your life that you've given us to flow through us. And Father, that more than ever we would live in all of the fullness that you have for us that comes through your Spirit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We said last week we were looking in Galatians 5, and this was a continuation of really the same topic. But last week, if you remember, we talked about the curse of laws that we make. We put laws upon ourselves, and we looked at it in the sense of those things that make you feel second rate as a Christian are probably because there's a law underneath them, and they will cause you to have guilt followed by doubt and fear and condemnation because you've added something to Jesus. You've gone, Jesus plus something is going to make me right with God. But there's Jesus plus nothing makes you right with God. Do you understand that? Jesus is everything. He is all of our righteousness. He is all of our freedom. And so we said, finished last week by saying there's actually a discipline of freedom. A discipline in living in freedom. A discipline in not letting those things which mainly happen in our minds enslave us when Jesus has set us free from them. Okay. Now, you can't separate any of that from the Holy Spirit. And Paul is now going to go on. This is, we're at Galatians 5, verse 16, which is really the heart of what I'm saying today. He says this. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I'll read it again. I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Okay. We actually asked a group of teenagers what the Holy Spirit was the other day, and we were surprised at the lack of answer we got, weren't we, Jody? Yeah, and most of them went to Pentecostal churches, so we were really confused. But the Holy Spirit, God's intimate presence with us, God's very presence with us, God's empowering presence, his guiding presence with us. He has come to live in us. Jesus said, it's best for you that I return to the Father, because if I return to the Father, I will send you the helper, the counsellor, the empowerer, who is the Holy Spirit. And at the moment, Jesus could be with one group of people. The Holy Spirit can be with every believer simultaneously across this world, bringing all of the gifts of God to us at once. Can you hear that? That's a good thing that the Holy Spirit's with us. Okay. The Holy Spirit brings his leading. We'll talk about that in a while. But understand this, in the context of this passage, he leads us to godliness. And godliness means being like God, or being in the image of Christ, or being restored to how we were supposed to be from the beginning. Now, I just want to put one clarifying point on there, because, and that is in Romans 8, verse 9, talking about who is it who has the Holy Spirit. He says, you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Do you belong to Christ? Right, then you have the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk more about how that leading and stuff works out and how that is for you. But understand that the Holy Spirit, God's intimate presence with you, his empowering presence. What is this? He says, live by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. What does that mean? The sinful nature, it's kind of like people call it the old man. In my case, it's the old Derek. But it's kind of like he's always lurking at the back of my woodshed, you know, waiting to come and give me the old cravings, the old desires for evil. And this sinful nature, or this flesh, it's sometimes called as well, is actually at war with the Holy Spirit within me. There is a war, a battle going on. Do you know that battle? Do you feel that battle? It's really good if you do, because that means the Holy Spirit's with you. If you're just comfortable in your sin, well, you probably need to come to know Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you feel that battle, because sometimes, you see, what the devil wants us to hear is, if there's a battle going on with you, you're losing it, you're not a real Christian, you're obviously sinning, you're falling, how could you? That's the devil wants us to hear. But what I want you to hear is, if you know that battle, you must know God. You must have the Spirit within you, because that battle doesn't happen in a sinner, in a non-believer. Doesn't go on. They love sin. So the battle is proof of the Spirit, and that's a good thing. Okay? Do you hate the sin you do? That's proof of the Spirit. Has to be. Do you understand? Do you desire what is good? Absolutely. The Spirit lives in you. This is good, isn't it? So don't gratify the sinful nature. How do you not gratify? Gratify means to give in to the cravings of. What is the way God has given us to not gratify the sinful nature? To live by the Spirit. Okay, now that's really different, because what we might say is, okay, here's this gratification. I don't know, lying is a gratifying sinful nature. You lie, okay? I tell you the way out of that, and this was the problem the Galatians had, is they said, do not lie. Tell yourself 100 times a day, do not lie. Right, and make that law. Write it on your wall. Write it. Tell your kids. Do everything, and that will save you. Law will save you from sin. How does that work out for you, people? Not so good, because the way God has given us is by the Spirit. And as I say, I'll talk more about that in a while, how that works out. And probably next week we're going to go on the same subject, because we're not going to get anywhere near the bottom of it today. For the sinful nature, this is verse 17, the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Do you get that? The battle of the sinful nature and the Spirit, so that you do not do what you want. What's he saying there? This is why you don't do what you want, because of that battle. Okay? Understand that. Otherwise, again, the devil will say, how could you really be a Christian? What? Because you see, you do not do what you want. In other words, you have a will and a want and a desire to do God's will, don't you? We have that desire. Again, that's proof of the Spirit within you, and the battle that goes on is that conflict, that reality of conflict, means you are hearing the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I just said there? The Holy Spirit is leading you to godliness. He's leading you to holiness. He's leading you to his fruit. And the fact of this battle and the fact of the sinful nature and all that stuff, the reality of all that, is proof that you are actually hearing the word of the Holy Spirit. Right? Because sometimes we can so super spiritualize this hearing that we don't realize that it's there. And we have it. And we know it. I hope you can get that. You want. The fact that you don't do what you want is proof. That's what he just said. I'll read it again so you can hear it. They are in conflict. The sinful nature and the Spirit are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. What do you want? You want to do what the Spirit's leading you to. Don't you? Okay. This is talking about the Christian life. This is talking about where we are going to live for the rest of our days. That's why it's really important for us. It's also talking about us as a church as well. How are we going to live with each other? But you see, if this is the case and there is the war, I want to tell you something that's really good news. The Holy Spirit will win this war in you. Okay, so I'm going to give you a mental picture. I've kind of used it before, but it's got a lot more meaning now that we had this river flow. When the river was going flat out, okay, and it was going flat out, okay, if you'd have gone up the top side, say where the Scout Park is, and you were quite a good swimmer, and there was a day many years ago where I was quite a good swimmer, and you swum out and in that current, which immediately starts taking you towards the dam, I'm going to tell you this right now. You are going to end up in that dam, okay? It is going to happen. Try and stop it. Okay, well, that's what we do when we let the sinful nature take, we start to take control. We start to swim against the current. And if you're a really good swimmer, I reckon you could hold it. I reckon you could stay still. In fact, if you're a really, really good swimmer, I reckon you could actually start to beat that current. What a stupid thing to do if you want to end up down at the dam. But give it a go, people. Yep, just play with the sinful nature, why don't you? No, don't take that the wrong way. Don't do that. Can you see? If you're really, really smart, what you'll do is you will turn around and swim with the current. And you're actually going to be going double speed towards your destination. It's what I want you to hear today is what that current is taking you to. What that current is like. What is that? What does it look like? What is the life of the Spirit? Can you understand what I'm saying? Because he goes on in verse 18. I'll get to my good bit in a minute. It's all good, but anyway. He says, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Now, he's gone back there to this whole argument of Galatians. He's saying, laws will not protect you from the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, or even the wrath of God. Only Christ will. Do you understand? So don't add any law or anything that makes you feel second rate or like a loser or hopeless. Don't add that thing to Christ. Okay? But rather be led by the Spirit. Now, I was trying to think of the best. Our dogs, when we take them for a walk, they lead us. But I've seen people walking with a horse and they have a fairly loose little bit of leather, I don't know what it's called, and they will walk a horse and the horse will run just about there. Is that right? Is that how it goes, Levi? Yeah. And they'll walk and the horse is completely controlled. And be led. The Holy Spirit is walking us, because he's going to use the image of walking in a minute. Let him be led. Don't pull against it. It's a useless thing to do. Be led by the Spirit. Okay? It's actually an active thing, isn't it? Even though it's passive. You're giving in to the will of the Spirit, and that will, he is instructing us right now. Chiefly to love, which is all of the law of God's fulfilled in love, isn't it? Chiefly, he is leading us to love. But understand this, just to finish off this bit about the law, understand this. If you have the Holy Spirit and you live by the Holy Spirit has given you by Christ obedience. So if you live by the Spirit, you are a law abider. You are a law obeyer. You are obeying the law when you live by the Spirit. Do you get me? Okay. We're going to have the negative bit here, because he's going to say the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. We know what they are. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, which is kind of like a party spirit, that full on into parties and drunkenness and carrying on. Idolatry and witchcraft. As I've said before, the word witchcraft is actually the word pharmakia, which is where we get the word for pharmacy, and it's actually the witchcraft they had was involved with drugs, which sent people into a trance, and they would kind of, you know, have all those feelings. It's about being a druggie, actually, involved with witchcraft, which is also involved with demons. And hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgy, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay. All of those things, I believe, are things, if you have the Holy Spirit, you hate them. Some of them you will fall into occasionally, but you hate them. Is that true? Amen on a negative point. That's right. The sinful nature craves to do them. And understand this, if you continue to live like that, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because the truth is, even though we fall into sin sometimes, the Holy Spirit brings a change in us. He transforms us, and he is transforming us into the image of Christ. It is happening. Okay? And if you go on the same way, you say, I became a Christian, and you live the same way you've ever lived, well, obviously, you haven't become a Christian because the Holy Spirit's not doing his work in you. Okay? Or as James says, faith without works is dead. It's not real faith because the works follow. And what do the works look like? Well, the works we would call the fruit of the Spirit. But understand, firstly, that's the acts of the sinful nature. We don't need to describe them and the like. We know what they're like. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. These are the fruit of the Spirit. This is the current that the Holy Spirit is taking you towards. This is the wash. He is making you and forcing you and bringing you along to love, joy, peace, patience. Now, you love those things, don't you? And I know this group of people. I know you all pretty well, actually. And I know that you live like this. Yep, and I know that you don't live like that first one. And I know that you'll occasionally fall, but I don't care about that because the righteousness of Christ is always with you. So this is who you are made to be, and it is the fruit of the Spirit. And guess what? The good news about that is it's not the fruit of you. Now picture this. We had an apricot tree. Well, we've still got an apricot tree. This year it had one apricot. One apricot. And I shared it with Jody. We actually went halves. Imagine if I went and picked that apricot and then I went to Jody and said, look what I made. I made this apricot myself. Yeah, that's crazy. Crazy talk, isn't it? Apricot trees make apricots, right? The Holy Spirit makes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control in you. He does it. Isn't that good? He is doing it. It's really good, isn't it? Because I'm telling you, you people who have the Holy Spirit, you love to love, don't you? And do you know that joy and that peace that God gives you? You know what that feels like. You know what that's like. And you also know how to fight it and swim against the current. And you know how stupid that is because you know it's always right there for you because he's with you and he's in you. Yep. It's right there for you. And you know what patience looks like. And you know you hate it when you're impatient, don't you? But you love patience and you love it when you are patient. Can you see what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is bringing his fruit in your life. And it's good. It is good fruit. So he says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. In other words, you don't have to go there anymore. You don't have to. The Holy Spirit's given you power over that. You don't have to go there. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's walk with the Spirit. Let's walk the walk of the Spirit. Because we live by the Spirit. Let's keep, can you understand what he's saying? Is go on living in what the Spirit has given you. Live in it. Don't fight against it. Walk the walk. He's used the words live, be led, walk. You know, in Ephesians he says be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be aglow with the Spirit. This is the calling. This is the chief calling that God has put on your life. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Because I want to get into something just really particular, because I believe, in some Bible studies lately we've been talking about this, this has been a trap and a law which has enslaved us in St. George in our church. Okay? And I want to expose it, and then I want to throw it over our shoulder, and I want to walk on from it. And it comes in the form of this. God told me, blah, blah, blah. Right. God told me this, God told me that. We've all heard it many, many times. And why is that an enslaving thing? Because firstly, often it's been contradictory. God seems to tell one person one thing and one person something else. Sometimes it seems contradictory to the word of God. Sometimes it seems prophetic, but it just doesn't happen. And all of that also makes those who are not hearing from God in that sort of way that people are saying feel second rate. Well, I don't hear from God like that. Okay? Can you understand? So I'm not quite a spiritual person, is you? I'm a second rate person. There is a law there, and the law says this: everybody should hear from God the same way I'm hearing from you, I'm speaking to you right now. Is that a true law? I'm going to tell you this straight out. The chief way God is ever going to speak to you is by his word. Do you hear that? And he's never going to contradict it. That's step one. Do you hear that? Because a whole lot of self-justification is going to come when we get things wrong and blah, 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 and I'm hearing from God. So first point I want to say is this. The chief way, I'll put it this way. I believe God is speaking to you and he's telling you his will this morning, right now, by his Holy Spirit. If you want to hear from God, live in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control, because that's where I'm leading you. Can you hear that? He is saying it to you this morning. I have absolutely no doubt that that's what he's saying. There are other particular words, and I'd encourage you, if you're a person who feels that God is speaking to you, I would encourage you to check and test those words before you say they're from God. Talk to other Christians around you. You may not have to. They may not be from God, because sometimes it's hard to hear God's voice, because it seems to come, when I hear God's voice, it sounds like my voice and it sounds like my thoughts. And sometimes what I hear in my head is not actually God. So check it with other people. But understand this also, in decision making, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have a Holy Spirit given logic which gives you wisdom to make decisions in life about farming and about other things. And that's really important for life, but that's a tangent. What I'm saying to you is this: God is speaking by his Spirit, and sometimes all those other things can drown out and distract us from our main calling. And if you sum it all up in love, it's a good calling. And you might want to say, I want to know from God how to evangelize people. Well, I don't know the full way for God to best evangelize people, but I know it's going to involve love right at the beginning. Do you understand that? And I want to know best how to lead a Bible study, and I want to know best how to spend time with my neighbours. It's going to involve love, joy, peace, and as you live in that, the overflow of it is going to catch. Are you getting me? It's a huge calling. Because the Holy Spirit always gives what he calls you to. He says, I want you to do this and I'm going to empower you to do it. So that's there for everybody. So all I want to say this is, I'm kind of, what I'm saying is, I think you know everything I've said today. I think you know it in your heart. I want you to recognize it. Recognize the Spirit's calling on you and how to live like this. Recognize it. Walk that walk and you will be empowered and you'll have an awesome time in marriages, in families, with visiting old people. Isn't that all about love, joy, peace, patience, God? Isn't it? Yeah. It's everything. That's who we are. Go on in it. And I'll say it again. If you're hearing me say, give you a tell-off, you haven't had it, you're wrong. You guys have got it. Just keep walking in it. Because everything flows from this as the Holy Spirit lives in you. Walk the walk of the Spirit. Father, I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit. We love him. We love his presence. And Father, we love what he does in us. We love those desires that we have to do what is good, to do what's right. We love those desires. And Father, we love it even more when he gives us the power and we carry them out. We love to see your love at work in us. And Father, just help us to walk the simplicity of the Christian life, filled with your Spirit, filled with all of your power. And Father, I pray that that love would be infectious, that it would catch, and others would be drawn to it, and others would come to know you and live in all of the fullness that you've given us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.